Christmas Eve of 1985 was not a good time for poor women and their children to depend on public kindness or prophetic reenactments of the Christian gospel at the hands of civic and commercial leaders in New York. It was a time when opulence among the city's newly minted rich and super-rich was flaunted with an unaccustomed boldness in the face of New York City's poor and homeless people, thousands of whom were packed into decrepit, drug-infested shelters, most of which were old hotels situated in the middle of Manhattan, some of which, in decades past, had been places of great elegance. One of the largest shelters was the Martinique Hotel, across the street from Macy's and one block from Fifth Avenue. In this building, 1,400 children and about 400 of their parents struggled to prevail within a miserable warren of bleak and squalid rooms that offered some, at least, protection from the cold of winter. Although many rooms in which I visited with families in the last week of December were so poorly heated that the children huddled beneath blankets in the middle of the day, and some wore mittens when they slept. I remember placing calls on freezing nights from phone booths on 6th Avenue or Broadway, trying to reach Stephen Banks, a legal aid attorney who performed innumerable rescue actions for the families in the Martinique that year. The wind that cut across the open space of Herald Square at night was fierce. The sidewalks felt like slabs of ice, and kids and parents from the Martinique who had to venture out for milk or bread or medicines would bundle up as best they could in layers of old clothes and coats, if they did have coats, or sweatshirts with the hoods drawn tight around their chins. Dozens of kids I knew within the building suffered from chronic colds. Many were also racked by asthma and bronchitis. Infants suffered from diarrhea. Sleepless parents suffered from depression. Mothers wept in front of me. I had never seen destitution like this in America before. 20 years earlier, I had taught young children in the black community of Boston and had organized slum tenants there and lived within their neighborhood and had been in many homes where rats cohabited with children in their bedrooms. But sickness, squalor, and immiseration on the scale I was observing now were virtually unknown to me. Almost every child that I came to know that winter in the Martinique was hungry. On repeated evenings, when I went to interview a family, I gave up asking questions when a boy or girl would eye the denim shoulder bag I used to carry, in which I often had an apple or some cookies or a box of raisins, and would give them what I had. Sometimes, I would ask if I could look into the small refrigerators that the hotel had reluctantly provided to the families. Now and then, I'd find a loaf of bread or several slices of bologna or a slice or two of pizza that had gone uneaten from the day before. Often, there was nothing but a shriveled piece of fruit, a couple of jars of applesauce, a tin of peanut butter. Sometimes not even that. I continued visiting the Martinique throughout the next 2 years. During that time, a play about impoverished children of the 19th century in Paris called Les Miserables opened to acclaim in the theater district of New York. Some of the more enterprising children in the Martinique would walk the 12 or 15 blocks between the hotel and the theater district in late afternoons or evenings to panhandle in the streets around the theater or in front of restaurants nearby. Homeless women did this too, as well as many of the homeless men, some alcoholics and some mentally unwell, who slept in cardboard boxes on the sidewalks and in doorways of the buildings in the area. The presence of these homeless people was not welcomed by the theater owners. People were paying a great deal of money to enjoy an entertainment fashioned from the misery of children of another era. The last thing that they wanted was to come out of the theater at the end and be obliged to see real children begging on the sidewalk right in front of them. The problem was resolved to some degree when police and private guards employed by local businesses developed strategies for cleaning out the homeless. Sanitation terms like cleaning out were used without embarrassment from the streets around the theaters. Meanwhile, on the east side of Manhattan, another group of business leaders went a little further by employing people in the homeless population to drive out other homeless people from Grand Central Station, where they had been taking refuge from the cold for several years by sleeping in the station's waiting rooms. The ultimate solution, which required the removal of these homeless families from the midtown sections of Manhattan altogether, took a few more years to carry out successfully. In the interim, despite the efforts of the theater owners, many of the older children from the Martinique would manage to slip past the hired guards or the police and walk up to theatergoers, who would sometimes hand them a few dollars.